If you've ever had a conversation with somebody who's a charismatic or a Roman Catholic or somebody who's in Eastern Orthodoxy, over and again, when you talk about sola scriptura, you might get a rebuke. You might get a rebuke to the effect of sola scriptura is a man-made doctrine. This is what they claim.
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And so I always like to take a challenge like that. And so what I'm going to be doing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is I'm going to be using scripture alone to demonstrate the concept of sola scriptura, that it is the only authority that we can look to.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for scripture alone at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
By taking this stand, the Archbishop has taken a very potent stand in favor of traditional sexual morality and traditional values and against the spirit of the age.
Readers need to understand that the Southern Baptist Convention as an organization exists only about 2 to 3 days a year.
One of the things that did come out of the pandemic is everyone's recognition that I need community, that I can't just exist on the internet. That's not actually reality.
We see our whole life now through the resurrected Christ, and that our baptism into him and our continually being fed at the table is only possible because Christ has risen from the dead.
Insufferable grammar snobs love listening to Issues Etc., not Etc.
God has made promises in Scripture, and Christians ought to heed those promises, believe them. But does that mean that it is our believing of them, our confessing of them, that make them come true, or that somehow activate God or release God's power to do those things? There are, sadly, many within the visible pale of Christendom who believe that what they say, what they personally say, creates their own reality. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about televangelist Jensen Franklin's teaching, how God creates the fruit of our lips. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. Then Katie Faust will join us. She is director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us. We'll discuss progressive church bodies, same-sex marriage, and children. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Here's the passage that Franklin's going to be working with, Isaiah 57, 18 and 19. And I'd like to start with the right interpretation of this passage. I'll just read it out for you. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. How should we rightly understand that passage from Isaiah 57?
All right, so a correct exegesis requires that you apply the three sound rules, or the three rules for sound biblical exegesis, which are context, context, and context. And in this portion of Isaiah, God is having Isaiah prophesy to comfort those who are contrite, those who humble themselves before God, cry out to him for mercy. So if you back up just a little bit to like verse 14, and it says, and it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's ways. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, also with him who is of contrite and a lowly spirit. So there's your context. You're picking up where God is speaking to those who are contrite and lowly. What does Jesus say? You know, the one who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles humbles himself will be exalted. This is Isaiah's lengthy way of talking along these lines. So speak to him who is contrite and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite, for I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face. I was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says Yahweh, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So in this text, this is speaking comfort to those who are contrite and humble by virtue of the fact that God's word has humbled them. Even though they've sinned grievously, God says then, I will create, or creating the fruit of the lips. That is a Hebrew idiom referring to the idea that God creates within a person faith, but then that faith results in them praising God. The reason I know that is because there's a cross-reference to this text, and it's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15. It says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to our God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And so a Hebrew way of thinking is here, if you think of that psalm that says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. This is the same idea to the one who is humbled by God's word and contrite and lowly. God then creates in them praise and gives them peace. This is a picture of salvation for the penitent, as opposed to the one who persists in wickedness and stubborn and obstinacy against God. There is no peace. That's really the right way of understanding this text.
So who is Jonathan Franklin, and what are his hermeneutical principles when he deals with this passage?
Okay, so Jonathan Franklin is a fellow who preaches out of Gainesville, Georgia, and he is a word of faith televangelist. And we've covered him before, and Jensen is one of these guys who legitimately believes that your words create your reality. So, and you're going to hear him say things like this as these sound bites progress, that your current life situation, where you are right now, is the culmination of the words that you have spoken. Are you in a negative place? Are you having a bad outcome? It's because you haven't spoken success. And so what he's going to do is take this passage from Isaiah, and he's going to take the words creating the fruit of the lips. He's going to twist it just a little bit and make it appear like this text is promising that God will create whatever it is that you are speaking. I think we can bear this out in the first soundbite.
I want you to look with me in Isaiah 57 and verse 18. I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. Verse 19, I, God speaking, create the fruit of your lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, I will heal him. God said, I create. The word create means to form, fashion, and mold, like a potter. I listen to what you say. I create, form, and fashion the fruit of your lips. How do you get God to work in your life? How do you activate God's miracle power? God said, I have linked my creative, miraculous power inseparably to the words that you speak into your life. I create whatever you keep speaking. I create, I form, I fashion, I mold what you constantly, consistently pray for, confess, and praise for. Whatever you dare to utter, the word fruit means utterance. I create the utterance of your lips, what you speak, when you speak it, and if you keep holding to that confession, there's a verse in the Bible that says, hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to it.
So, Chris, I'm just wondering if he's making claims that God says this, but he quotes no Bible passage to support that God says he creates whatever we keep speaking.
Right. You'll note that this is a Bible-twisting technique that is called eisegesis, where he's reading into this text something that isn't there. And what he did is that I'm going to note what he did here is rather interesting. He misquoted this text saying that God says, creating the fruit of your lips. That's actually not what the text says. And bara here, the word for create, this verb is a participle. And so what God is saying in context here is not that he is promising to create whatever you speak. That's not the picture of this text. But the idea then is that God is the one who creates within us faith. God is the one who, Ezekiel says, takes our heart of stone, replaces it with a heart of flesh. As the psalmist says, O Lord, open my lips, Psalm 51, and I will declare your praise. God here is promising to the contrite that he will create the fruit of the lips, which fruit of the lips is a Hebrew idiom talking about praise. God will create within the mournful, those who are contrite, praise for God. That's what's being promised here. And what Jensen has done is taken the phrase fruit of the lips, changed it to fruit of your lips. And now he's saying all these things that this text nowhere, it doesn't say any of these things, but he's making it appear like that the extra doctrines that he's adding on here, that those are extensions of the words creating the fruit of your lips. But he's engaged in a very, very sneaky form of Bible twisting, and he's sticking stuff into the text that isn't there, making promises for God that are just not even true. And if you think about the implications of this, it's actually quite horrifying.
So the word faith teaching classically, and he seems to be a pretty kind of old school word faith guy, unlike some others who try and nuance it a little bit. The classical teaching of word faith is that God can't, not only won't, but cannot do anything apart from the words that Christians speak.
This is absolutely true. And this has to do with their doctrine of like who's in charge of the earth. And so they go back to the book of Genesis and note that in the book of Genesis, at the time of creation, when God created Adam and Eve, that he gave humanity dominion over the earth. And their claim in their kind of weird theodicy is that in the Garden of Eden, man abdicated his dominion, gave it to the devil. And because there's this apparently this really strong line between where God can act and where we can act, God is utterly powerless to act in this time space creation because we had the dominion, we gave it to the devil, and so Christ has come to reclaim that. And as Christians, then we have to speak and use our authority in order to give God permission to operate here in this planet. This sounds like something like straight out of Scientology or like Mormonism. It's really that far out.
But that's why what you say or don't say is so crucial to these teachers, isn't it? That they actually believe that you're either giving power to God, he said activate God, you're either giving permission for God to work or you're giving permission for the devil to work at every given moment in your life.
This is true. And most of the time when you're giving permission to the devil to work, you're not even aware that you're giving the devil permission. All you have to do is speak something negative. So there you are, you know, you're working in your wood shop and you're hammering a couple of things together and you miss the nail and you strike your thumb and you go, oh man, that really hurts. Oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so stupid. When you say words like that, according to them, you speak that negative confession, then you're giving authority for the devil to bring that about. And so when you speak negatively about yourself like that, you say, oh, I'm so stupid. All of a sudden, the devil has the right and the authority to then take your IQ level down by 5 points or something. This is legitimately how they operate. And so instead, in order to counteract this, they claim that we as Christians are given royal authority, we decree and declare, and then by taking this verse from Isaiah 57 out of context, they weave it into this narrative that God can't and won't do something until we speak it. But God is promising here that if the fruit of our lips, we sing praise and we speak positively and not negatively, then God is going to, we're giving him permission then to create the positive outcomes in our life.
So he quoted and misapplied another passage there where the apostle says, hold fast to the good confession. I think that's from one of Paul's pastoral letters. What was he quoting there and how did he misapply it?
So when we're holding fast to our confession of faith in Christ, that's literally what that passage is talking about. It has nothing to do. He's evacuated it of its actual meaning, you know, holding fast to our confession in Christ, and is instead made it hold fast to our confession. And by confession, he means speaking those positive things that God is going to then create in our lives as a result of it. You just apply the context there and it fixes it right up.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest on this Wednesday, June the 1st. We're listening to televangelist Jensen Franklin teaching on how God creates the fruit of our lips. After the break, he'll claim that man is the only creature who can speak. Is that true? When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. At issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith. Today, televangelist Jensen Franklin's teaching on how God creates the fruit of our lips. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Ad Crucem has produced beautiful posters of Martin Luther's daily prayers, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23, and more. You can view these posters for your home, your church, or your school at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. Chris, what's up next from Jensen Franklin?
Next, we're going to hear something that really, if you think about it, makes no sense and is easy to push back on him and prove to be false. And he's going to make the claim that mankind are the only of beings of God's creation that have the ability to speak. But I'll let him spin it out.
Man has the power to speak, to talk, to confess. Man is God's only creation that he made that can talk. Just like God, he spoke the world into existence. There's no other creation. The animals can't talk. You say a parrot can. It can repeat words. It cannot believe in its heart and speak with its mouth. I'm not just talking about saying whatever you want, but when you find something in the scripture and you believe it in your heart, and then you begin to speak it no matter what you see, I believe this book and what it says greater. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. And man is the only creation that God made that has the power to talk, to speak. God took speech away from the serpent in the book of Genesis. When Satan came in and he borrowed the body of a serpent, back then, apparently serpents could walk and they could talk. I'm not teaching something weird. Please look at your Bible. The serpent said to Eve, it could talk. And when God cursed it, he defeated it. He took the legs off and it crawled on its belly. And then he took the power to speak away from that devil. If a demon's going to talk, he's going to talk through somebody now. They have no legal right to say anything except in your mind through suggestions, and you don't have to listen to it. And God took speech away from that serpent, but he has not taken speech away from man. You are now a composite of everything you've been saying. Change your words and you'll begin to change your life. If you want to become something different, change what you are confessing. Change what you are saying. God said, I gave you two ears and I gave you two eyes, but I only gave you one mouth. He wants you to listen twice as much as you talk, and he wants you to watch and see more than you talk. Aren't you thankful God didn't give your husband or wife two mouths like he gave them two ears and two eyes? Aren't you glad God didn't give you two mouths? Haven't you had enough trouble out of the one mouth that God gave you?
So, Chris, what is he saying there? Take that apart for us.
So we're going to begin with something that is super easy to disprove. This idea that humanity, human beings, are the only creatures in God's creation who have the ability to speak. I would note that throughout the Bible, you have angels who are created by God and they speak. And you will note that when Christ is tempted in the wilderness, for instance, Matthew chapter 4, it says Jesus was led up or driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." So what this is connected to, you know, is this idea that he's claiming, and it's so easy to disprove, that only human beings have the ability to speak. The idea is that we were made in the image of God, and this is the hidden doctrine within the Word of Faith heresy. The hidden doctrine is that we are also divine, and because we are little gods, we have the same ability that God has to be able to speak things into existence. This used to be overtly taught by Joyce Meyer, used to be overtly taught by Ken Copeland, and it created such controversy, and so many people could obviously see what they were when they spoke this way. They've instead kind of hidden the doctrine. When Ken Copeland talks about it now, he goes into 1 Peter and says, look here, it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. And he says it like this, right? And when he says that, that's his way of kind of going, wink, wink, that means we're divine. And so what Jensen did there is by somehow making it appear, falsely so, that only humanity has the ability to speak. This plays into their unspoken little gods doctrine, and it's imperative for them that, you know, that this is true, because we are made in the image of God, and just like God spoke things into existence when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, now we have that same authority when we recognize our position and our authority and power. We can speak things. So whatever is negative happening in your life, it's ultimately your fault. because you didn't recognize your power, you didn't recognize the power of your words, you didn't recognize your own divine nature. And so if there's something negative going on, your life is the composite of all the things that you've spoken, is what Jensen just said. So you want different results, you have to speak with different words.
What does this produce in those who buy into it? I'm not talking about guys like Franklin himself, but those who believe it and subject themselves to this kind of teaching that, and I'm certain it applies to thoughts as well as words. How do you end up living life every day if you think that your reality is the result of any idle word that may pass your lips?
So it creates several different, like, notably consistent experiences. People who try it and recognize this isn't working. You know, so if you have a chronic illness, you know, you sit there and go, oh, well, this is the solution I want. I need God to help me. And Jensen Franklin says, well, the reason why I have a chronic illness is because I've spoken negative words over my life. So you diligently apply yourself to put into practice this idea that my words create a different reality. So you say, I am not chronically ill. I am perfectly healthy. I am wealthy. I'm the head and not the tail. And you speak these affirmations and stuff like this under the belief that this is what God wants. And the problem is that God doesn't fulfill the promises of heretics and people who are twisting his word. And so your chronic illness continues and persists. Then you have one of two choices. You can admit this is bunk and it's not working, or you double down. And then comes the reality of living in cognitive dissonance. I remember Tammy Faye Baker. Tammy Faye Baker, the previous wife of Jim Baker, she got cancer. And when she got cancer, she did a series of interviews. And on one of those interviews, it was just days before she was going to die. And she was being interviewed by Larry King, and she could not say the words, I have cancer. She wouldn't say it. Instead, she was using her faith-filled positive affirmations to hang on for and believe that God was going to turn things around. When she looked like she already had both of her feet in the grave, it was just a matter of her, you know, being pushed in for the final blow. And that's exactly what happened. She died just a few days later. So in the cognitive dissonance stage of this, you tenaciously hang on to something you know isn't working, but you keep doubling down and you end up denying reality. As every step of the way gets worse and worse and worse, your health is failing, you are heading towards the grave, you are completely living in denial. And it's one of the most tragic things that I've seen in the midst of all of this. And somebody at this point is in real danger of complete despair and just basically saying Jesus isn't true, Christianity is false, and the reality is that they've never been told the real gospel, and they have no clue what biblical faith is. This false doctrine ensnares people and drags them into hell, and does so in a very cruel, and I mean psychologically cruel and abusive way.
How is it any different than the kind of hokum spiritualities that have been peddled by people like Oprah Winfrey when she promoted this book, The Secret? And the principle there was that you attract good things to your life.
Yep.
That the universe is kind of waiting to send you. I mean, just substitute God for universe, and it sounds like essentially the same thing.
You're right. In fact, I would say that these are very closely related theologies, and the basic premises are the same. In the law of attraction, you know, in The Secret, the universe is a little bit, it's not really personal. This is more of a pantheistic or panentheistic way of looking at the universe. It's kind of overtly Gnostic, and this goes really well with the New Age. So what Jensen Franklin is peddling is kind of like the Christianized version of it. And then you can think of like Christian Science, you know, if you're familiar with the mind science cults, they have their own spin on this that's very similar. And what's interesting is when you do the theological study, where does this word of faith heresy come from? It definitely has its roots in like Christian Science and the mind science cults and the Secret and, you know, the law of attraction and things like this. Those are just, you know, kind of pagan New Age versions of the same concept. All of them are demonic. All of them are false, and they will lead you to complete despair.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about televangelist Jensen Franklin's teaching on how God creates the fruit of our lips. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. On the other side, praise equals prayer.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue feasting on the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with more of the seven letters of Jesus to the churches, this time to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that He does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkins. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about televangelist Jensen Franklin's teaching on how God creates the fruit of our lips. So, Chris, we have one more cut from Jensen Franklin. What should we be listening for?
Yes. So, if you're going to note that in this next cut, he's going to try to circle back, and he found that Hebrews 13 does have a connection to the Isaiah text, but he's not read Isaiah properly, and so he's going to continue by twisting Hebrews 13:15, and watch how he ends up basically making our praise like the thing that activates the positive results in our life.
Words change the atmosphere of your life. Hebrews 13 in verse 5, this is what changed my life. When I saw in Isaiah 57:19, God said, I create the fruit of your lips. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says this, therefore, by him, watch this word, let us continually. It's not that you just talk positive one day because you heard a sermon. It's not because you talk right but continually let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That verse changed my life before I ever started pastoring Free Chapel. I learned a secret. Just as a young evangelist, I learned that the fruit of my lips that God forms and fashions and creates in my future are the words that I praise Him with, that the fruit of my lips, the praise is the fruit of my lips. And if I will continually pray, which is talk, speak to God and turn to God and praise Him for what He's doing, that's what He creates and forms and fashions. Words are so powerful that the fruit of our lips is called praise. And the fruit of our lips is what God begins to form and fashion. Whatever we continually, the text said, praise Him for and pray for. How many days have you wasted that you've put no seeds of success out there? God, I praise You that my steps are ordered. That's right out of the Bible. I praise You that You're leading me and guiding me, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God, I praise You that I know that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And You're setting up resources for me the rest of the year. You're going to have surprises down the road. I thank You that I'm favored. I thank You that I'm blessed. I praise You, God, that I know that He that has begun a good work in me and in my family, we may be going through a rough time, but He will perfect that which concerns me. And so, Father, I pray. Now, see, what am I doing? That's how you pray. You don't just sit back and let life hit you and hit you and hit you, and you sit there with lockjaw. He said, I create, I form, I fashion the fruit of your lips. And then He told you in the New Testament in Hebrews that the fruit of your lips is the continual praise you offer God.
Chris, it strikes me as I'm listening to him. First of all, he sounds an awful lot like Joel Osteen.
Yep.
I know he's got a few years on Joel Osteen, but you see that Joel is drawing on the same theological error. But the other thing is that there is a kernel of truth here, and that is, when God promises something, He does want us not only to trust that promise, but to make that promise part of our prayer and part of our confession.
Yes.
Not that our confession causes a thing, but that we are to trust the promises of God. So that's the kernel of truth. But in the end, isn't this just, I looked up superstition, and one of the elements of superstition is what Webster says, a false conception of causation. Isn't this just superstition?
It is, in a way. So you'll note that he by changing Isaiah 57 to saying that God creates the fruit of your lips rather than creating the fruit of the lips. Okay, that is a big distinction. Where Isaiah 57:19 is that God creates praise. And then Hebrews 13:15, he misquoted. He said 5, but it's 15. He says that through them, then, let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. It is true that praise is the fruit of lips. That's the fruit of the lips that God creates. God creates praise. Now, here's the sneaky little thing. So here's where the superstition is. And so the superstition is that by twisting this up just enough that you don't see that God is the one who creates in us a clean heart, that He's the one who creates within us praise. God, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, the psalmist says. He's now saying that God is going to work upon whatever we are praising Him for. So the way this then plays out in their day-to-day life is that if you want an Aston Martin, maybe your Toyota Camry isn't doing it for you, right? And so you want an upgrade on your car. So what you would then do, applying what he just said here, you would pray, and this is a weird prayer. You would say, I thank you, Lord, for my Aston Martin. I thank you, Lord, that my car has, brand new leather seats and that you've paid the bill for my car and that it's going to come to me without any debt. I thank you, Lord, that this is what you're doing in my life. Here's the sneaky bit. You haven't prayed for anything when you've said those words. And he says that that is what prayer is. That is not what prayer is. Christ taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Note here, Christ teaches us to pray for daily bread, and Christ does not teach us to sit there and go, I thank you, Lord, for the daily bread that you're going to give me tomorrow, and I just praise and thank you for it. And then God, hearing that praise and thanks, will give you tomorrow's daily bread. No, instead, God and Christ teach us to ask God for the things that we need. And the sneaky bit here is that Jensen Franklin is teaching people how not to pray. Because at the end of it, when you pray the way he says you're supposed to pray, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing this. I thank you, God, that you've done that. And you're trying to create the seeds of success and the better outcome in your life. At the end of the day, you haven't asked God for a single thing. And Scripture says you have not because you ask not. And that's what James says. And then he says, and then you ask and you don't receive because you ask to gratify your sinful passions. So here you're going to note that what James warns about in his epistle, that you have not because you ask not. At the end of the day, Jensen Franklin is teaching people not to ask God for anything. Instead, to praise him for things that they don't have. Yeah, this is superstitious for sure. You know, you step on a crack, you break your mama's back. That's superstition as well. But at the end of the day, their superstition keeps them from actually opening up their mouth and asking God for things. Because if you come to God and you say, God, I am in need. I am lowly. I am poor. I do not have what I need in order to pay my bills, or I'm sick and I'm in need of your healing. You are cut off from asking God for those things, because by virtue of just the way you would have to ask it, by admitting that the situation is what it is, according to their superstition, that's a negative confession that then locks God's hands and makes it impossible for him to heal you. So you can't ask God for anything. This is really satanic at the end of the day, because it's cut off any meaningful communication with God and keeps you from asking for the things that you need from him.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. We'll post a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Heroes traverse dangerous grounds going on their own quests that encompass finding a sidekick or two and fighting a great evil. You've likely encountered the hero's journeys in dozens of modern media. For humankind, a true savior is necessary to rescue us from the real dangerous villains, Satan, sin, and our own flesh. Only a supernatural divine savior will do. That's the subject of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Lord of Legends, Jesus Redemption Quest. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Lord of Legends, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Katie Faust joins us on the other side. We're going to talk about progressive church bodies, same-sex marriage, and children. The hero's journey is a prominent theme in mythological tales and fantasy novels, but what if one of those heroes were real? Jesus Christ is a real hero born to save humanity from their villains, sin, death, and the devil. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Lord of Legends, Jesus Redemption Quest. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Lord of Legends, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Freedom of speech and religion are important rights for Christians because we are called to lift up Jesus.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Paavi Rossinen talking about her presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I have been a member of the Parliament of Finland for 27 years, but now, suddenly, I'm facing 3 criminal charges for sharing my deeply held beliefs based on the Bible. At the trial, the prosecutor tried to deny the core message of the Bible, the teaching of law and gospel. I defend the right to confess the Christian faith and its teaching on the human being.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paavi Rossinen at the 2022 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.